Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, April 24th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in More About Alcoholism on page 33, the second full paragraph, beginning with, young people may be encouraged to, ending with, as those who have been drinking 20 years. We are reading and commenting on one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Ann S.C.H. reading the 12 steps, Claudia C. will be reading the 12 traditions, Robin B. will be reading the text, Vanessa G. is reading page 164, and Ann S.C.H. is our backup reader today and reading. Reading the steps. Thank you, Ann. Newcomer greeter is Diane. Nope, newcomer greeter is Larry G. And announcements will be Shelley E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, April 23rd, 2026, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,394. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,397. Or 23397. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Ann S.C.H. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey there, Ann. You can hit star one to unmute, please. And SCH,
sorry about,
can't hear you.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, Stephanie. I unmuted many, many times. And so good morning, everyone. My name is Ann SCH. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in British Columbia, Canada. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so will injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And then with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Ann S.C.H. I will now ask Claudia C. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, good morning, Claudia.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everybody. This is Claudia C. from Los Angeles, California. And here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, For a group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, will never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for letting me read in my path.
Oh, thank you so much, Claudia C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to re-mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in More About Alcoholism on page 33, the second paragraph beginning with, young people may be encouraged to, ending with, as those who have been drinking 20 years. We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning, and we will now ask Robin B. to please begin reading. Good morning, Robin.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning. This is Robin B., compulsive overeater, living in recovery one day at a time in Ohio. Young people may be encouraged by this man's experience to think that they can stop, as he did, on their own willpower. We doubt if many of them can do it because none will really want to stop, and hardly one of them because of the peculiar mental twist already acquired will find he can win out. Several of our crowd, men of 30 or less, had been drinking only a few years, but they found themselves as helpless as those who had been drinking 20 years. So young people may be encouraged by this man's experience. So the first sentence is referencing the paragraph before where the man at 55 thought that he had overcome his alcoholism and couldn't. And me, looking at this, I'm going to be 55 years old in July this year. And I am a compulsive overeater, and I have been. And the earliest memory of me being a compulsive overeater was when I was 4, and my mom had a sugar bowl on the kitchen table for her coffee. And I remember sneaking into the kitchen and eating sugar out of the sugar bowl And my mom knew what I was doing because she could obviously hear me in there. And I remember her yelling at me, "Robin, get out of the sugar bowl. What are you doing?" And that is my earliest memories of my compulsive overeating. And I am still very much a compulsive overeater today. And reading and continuing in this paragraph, this particular mental twist already acquired. The allergy of my trigger food, sugar is certainly one of them, and I have no control over it. He, and this sentence finishes with, he can win out. And I thought, okay, but I'm not winning. I can't win in this. I don't have any power over it. And I actually looked it up to help me to understand. The only way that I can win is by accepting defeat, that I don't got this. Because there were many years in my 20s and 30s where I could white knuckle it about 80% of the time. But this disease is progressive. And when I got older into the 40s, I couldn't manage it anymore. My body was to hit physical problems. I couldn't do it anymore. And I finally had to say, I can't do it anymore. And only by admitting that defeat and accepting that I can't control my addiction and become dependent upon my higher power, that was the only way that I could win out. And that is the only way to today that I can overcome this addiction, is through the power and strength of my higher power, or my higher power, my God.
Robin, that's time.
Okay. So I thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin B. We are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day so that others may share their experiences too. If you share it on Wednesday or Thursday on either of the vision meetings, please allow others the opportunity to share today. We also ask that you please keep your share to 3 minutes so that as many people as possible can share. And I will remind you when your time is up. If you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Susan S.H.
I got Susan S.H. Susan, where are you calling from? Hold on, Susan, where are you calling from?
Ohio.
That's you. Okay, I've got Susan
Christina
S.H.
Christina J.
I've got Chris. Christina J., I believe. Is it Washington, Christina? Is it Washington?
Julie B., Oregon.
Thank you, Julie. Christina J., where are you calling from? We'll get it when you...
Sorry there,
okay.
Washington State.
That's what I thought. Okay. Thank you so much. All right. I've got Susan S.H., Christina J., Julie B. Who else wants to get in there?
Michelle W.C.
from Alabama.
I've got Michelle W.C. from California. And who was right after Michelle?
Pat R. from Alabama.
Pat R. from Alabama. Gotcha.
Thank you.
Do we have anyone else who wants to get in on this first lineup?
Doreen N.
And Doreen, where are you calling from?
Calling from Texas.
Texas, gotcha.
Thank you.
Hey, I've got Susan S.H., Christina J., Julie B., Michelle W.C., Pat R., and Doreen N. And we'll go ahead and start with Susan S.H., followed by Christina J. Good morning, Susan.
Thank you. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio. And, yeah, when I first looked at this, it was the first meeting this morning at 7, I thought, what does this have to do with me? Well, it has so much to do with me. I did know something was wrong when I was in my 20s. I did, because I went to one meeting. But my mind being where it was, my willingness being where it was, I thought these people were nuts. And I thought I could never put down the sugar. And bread? Yeah, who does that? And it took me 30 years of experimenting and proving just how sick I was around the food before I could come back again and admit that maybe there is a deeper problem, and maybe I'm listening to so many recovered people, maybe there's recovery for me too. So I am so glad that I looked at this paragraph again and thought about all those years that would have been wonderful had I, you know, been able to raise my family with the support of a higher power that I just didn't know of. But the fact is, what needed to happen for me to come back in my 50s and now be 70 and grateful every day for the steps, which are my directions, for the relationship with a higher power, which sustains me in everything. So I'm grateful, and every paragraph pertains to all of us, and I'm learning that again and again and again. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Susan S.H. from Ohio. Next, we've got Christina J., followed by Julie B. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in Washington State. You know, yesterday I wanted to share, but I had this feeling I wasn't supposed to share. You know how you have that? But it was my day to share, so I was going to try to. So it didn't work out. So God wanted me to share today. That's what I believe. You know, I was helpless since the beginning. As a young child, I had no idea I had this. And I was scared straight, as the first chair indicated, reflecting back on the previous paragraphs regarding this man of 30. I was scared straight many, many times. And there were times I was scared straight, and within an hour, I was back in the food. Why? Because I don't know how to handle fear. I didn't know how to handle fear. So it would go into my gut. I would be really scared. I'd still have the allergy triggered. And I go back to the numbing effect of the food to save me from living in anxiety about my disease. I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know many people that had reached recovery until I reached the rooms of vision. And then over and over and over, I couldn't get it. I had the mental twist because I didn't do the rest of the steps yet. I hadn't embarked on the steps. And then when I did do the steps, I didn't get the depth of them until I was in program for a long time. And my relapses, you know, there's perfection in that pain, perfection in the pain of those relapses, because God knew what he was doing with me, a stubborn person that had habits deeply ingrained, you know, to go to the food. This is my mental twist. My mental twist is I have a habit pattern that takes me to the food for comfort. That mental twist can only be busted down by God, by this program, by me seeing, by me becoming aware of what I need to do, by going to my knees to God, by abandoning the BS in my head that tells me I need another bite, walking away from it, walking away from the emotions that want to take me to hell. You know, I have to work with it every day. Fear is my biggest monster. You know, it comes up about many things. And yes, we need fear. You know, it helps us run from lions or whatever. But the fear that stops us from living because it's in the future or in the past, or that we have wounds inside of us that get pushed on, I can't deal with that. And that's the mental twist that says you need comfort. You know, yes, a couple days ago, I had a rough day with my husband, and the little girl in me was like, I want a snack, I want a snack. And I couldn't have one. But she wants to go back to comfort. She's just looking for comfort. But I held with God. And I was kind of miserable for the day, but I'm so grateful that I didn't have to go back to the mental twist. And I wanted to stop. I really wanted to, because I had this drive to be thin and attractive. And, you know, that was my big driver. I wanted to be thin and attractive and have you love me. And that was another painful experience inside of myself because I just couldn't get there. And even when I was thin and attractive, it didn't do it for me. So the only thing that did it for me, thank you, is these steps. And if you're out there, just keep trudging. And if you get into relapse, it's okay to reckon the pain that's going to take you down someday to your knees. Anyway, I'll stop. I love you all. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Christina J. And there's some background noise. I heard a male voice. If you could please hit star one, please, to mute your phone so that we don't have a lot of background noise in the recording. Next, we're going to have Julie B. followed by Michelle W.C. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Julie B. from Oregon, compulsive overeater, sugar addict. When I joined this program about a year ago last May, and I didn't really think a lot about when I was young. I just didn't think about it. But this passage reminds me how early these patterns get started. And there's a really awesome OA tool called a slip inventory. And I did have a big slip this weekend, and it kind of challenges you to go back and to think deeply about, you know, what's going on in your spirit life. And when I was a baby, my mom wasn't able to nurse me for very long. And the formula in those days, because I'm an old person, the formula in those days was sweetened condensed milk plus Karo syrup. So that's what my mom put in my bottle. When I was 3 years old, my mom was really sick. And so before my dad went to work every day, he showed me where the cereal was and where the milk was. And I just fed myself very sweet cereal and milk as a three-year-old. Later on, when my dad ran away, I continued to feed myself with cereal and milk. So it's no surprise that creamy, milky, sweet things are what I've been exposed to a lot as a child, and those are my problem foods. And, you know, my dentist said, looking at my teeth, he can tell that I was malnourished as a child, and I used to faint at school all the time. And nobody asked, you know, like, what is this kid eating? But now I get it. Now I get it. You know, going to Starbucks for my warm, creamy, sweet treat is going back to, as the last person shared, going back to take care of that little tiny girl. And now I know that God can help me drive the other way. And God can help me take care of myself. God can take care of me so I don't have to get into that food again and destroy my body. So I'm very grateful for this program. Thank you, everybody, for being here today. I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie B. from Oregon. Next, we've got Michelle W.C., followed by Pat R. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, good morning. This is Michelle W.C. in California. Thank you so much, everyone, for your share so far. I, you know, I've been, of course, enjoying this chapter very much. And, you know, when we hear the term young people, I think of for me, it's whether it's when I was younger, but being a little bit arrogant, thinking that I could do things on my own. And for me, I was this first sentence reminded me of another sentence here in the Big Book where it says we need to fully concede to our innermost self that we are indeed, you know, alcoholics or compulsive overeaters. And, you know, as much as we've tried or I've tried to control things, I have not been able to control it. And it's so funny how that, like, young little child in me still wants to try to think about how I can control food. And, for example, I have a school fundraiser that we're going to this weekend, and we paid a lot of money to go, and I know the right thing to do is to weigh and measure my food before I go and eat before going to the event. And there's a part of me that's like, oh, that's not fair. I shouldn't have to do this. I hear that little voice in my head. But then I have to remind myself that I am a compulsive overeater. Going to, you know, having a buffet-style dinner is it's hard for me to do that one plate. I can do it. I've done it before. but there is such a strong temptation to go back and get seconds and thirds and fourths. And so it's like I know the right thing to do is to eat, to weigh and measure my food before I go and to eat that food before going to the event. And it's so funny how we were like, oh, I think I could do it. I could do it. You know, but, you know, like trying to, like my mind's trying to tell me I could do it. But yet I know that the wiser version of me, the one that's connected to God and to self, is the right thing to do for me at this time is to eat before I go to the event. And so I think that's just one of the lessons I've learned from my experience being in program for the past like year and a half. It's when I hear that little voice that keeps trying to tell me in my own voice that, hey, it's going to be okay. It's often not okay. And so by surrendering, I'll know I'll get a deeper peace and a deeper connection with my higher power. And, you know, that's really what I want. I don't want to go and get my money's worth of the buffet because it's really not not going to serve me and not going to serve my community and it's not going to serve God. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Michelle W.C. in California. Next, we've got Pat R., followed by Doreen N. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. This is Pat R. from Alabama, a very grateful recovering overeater. The young people, Lord have mercy. That got me because the first thought that I came up in my mind was that little girl. And I remember I came up in a very alcoholic home, and we had to take care of ourselves as well. I've got three brothers, and we would go in the kitchen, and we would put butter on bread and just load it up with sugar, and that's what we would eat. So the thought of that, you know, with that little girl, and that was comfort to me. So that's been awesome to be able to look back and see how far I've come. However, when I first came into the rooms, I had a doctor look me right straight in the eye and say, if you don't do something, you're going to die. And that scared the bejesus out of me. And I was willing to do whatever they told me to do when I came into program. And I did it. And I lost, you know, the 75 pounds that I needed to lose pretty quickly. Well, then, I was such a big shot, and it was like, oh, man, look at this. This is awesome. I'll never be fat again. Well, it started with one bite. Oh, you can have just one. Knowing in my mind I couldn't, but I had gotten down into a right-sized body, and I had not been there in years, and that scared me because I was used to covering myself up with big clothes because men don't like to look at big women. And so I could protect myself in that way. But there was something in my mind that I knew that I was doing wrong every time I took just the one bite or just the one, you know, whatever it might happen to be, the goodie for me. And I gained my weight back. And then I was asked, you know, are you willing? And I said, no. Well, the longer that I stayed in the rooms and I was listening to others' recovery, and they kept saying, yes, they were willing to do. And, you know, the weight kept coming up, and until I was willing to do what I needed to do, that weight didn't even start coming back off. It was very difficult for me because I had such a strong will, and I could do it my way. No matter what, I could do it my way. Well, surely I have proven it to myself by now. I can't. I have to have my fellows walk with me through this journey. I have to be able to keep my mindset straight and realize that being willing to do what it takes for me to get healthy, you know, not for the right size body, not for, you know, to be slim and trim and all of that, but to be healthy so I can get on the floor with my grandchildren made all the difference in the world for me. Thank you. So I will do what I have to do to, you know, for my family, for my grandchildren, and enjoy the rest of the life that God has for me. So thank you for letting me share. This is Pat R. from Alabama.
Thank you so much, Pat R. from Alabama. Next, we've got Doreen N. Good morning, Doreen.
Yes, Doreen N., compulsive overeater. And yesterday I went to a meeting, and this guy called himself a food drunk. That's how he introduces him. I'm like, Holy Mother, that's what I am. Because when I eat, I'm wasted, like someone who's drinking and drinking, and I couldn't stop. I have 32 days now, by the grace of God, but I've been in and out since 95. Humility. I only have today. I don't have tomorrow or just today, these 24 hours. And the one who's been abstinent the longest is the one who woke up earlier. That's it. And for me, I want to stop. I'm powerless, but I'm not helpless. And that's what's important. And I cannot do this alone. Again, just like everybody else, I've tried gain and lose, gain and lose. And I have pictures that show the different progression. And I've had it. I've had enough. I have nowhere else to go. Only my higher power can give me a reprieve that's 24 hours in duration. I need to do a new subscription every day. And just like with a bottle of medicine, and it says 2-3 times a day. Same thing, I have a prescription. If I don't eat those prescribed foods, I am in relapse. And for me, I have no yellow foods. There's none because the disease has progressed. I only have red or green. That's it. It's black and white thinking, but not when it comes to the disease, because the disease is sneaky and it wants to get you, but good. But I'm really, really grateful that I'm back, and I'm glad that I found Vision, and I no longer have my phone provider charging a penny a minute. I got a different phone provider, and thank you so much for everybody's shares. Thank you for this meeting. Thank you for starting my day right with my higher power. Thank you so much, Pat.
Aw, thank you so much, Doreen N. from Texas. Before we take another lineup, let me remind you where we are. We're in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in More About Alcoholism, page 33, second full paragraph, beginning with, young people may be encouraged to, ending with, as those who have been drinking 20 years. We read that one paragraph. That's what we're commenting on. If you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like
Joy
to share?
Joy M.D., California. Michelle D. From Virginia.
Was that Joy M.D.?
Yes. M.D., California.
Joy Adrian M.D. from California. I heard Adrian N. And Adrian, where are you calling
Michelle
from?
Michelle D.
Florida.
Hold on one sec. Adrian N., Florida. Okay, and that was Adrian N. as in Nancy. Okay, great. Did I hear a Michelle?
Michelle B. from Virginia.
From Virginia. Got you, Michelle.
Regina V. Cheyenne MC, Chicago.
I hear Bruce E., I believe, from Florida.
Yep.
Okay. Courtney J.
Regina V. Courtney J. California. Where are you calling from, Courtney?
North Carolina.
California. And let me do it. Oh, from North Carolina? Okay, sorry.
Yeah,
California. North. And let me just do a time check here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's going to take us to the end. I might be able to get one more in here. But
Regina V.
Regina V. And where are you from, Regina?
California. California.
And that was V as in Victor?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to stop there. I've got Joy MD, Adrian N., Michelle D., Bruce E., Courtney, I think that's a P I wrote, I hope, and then Regina V. We'll start with Joy MD, followed by Adrian N. Good morning, Joy.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your service. May I be heard? Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Great. I'm so blessed meeting this morning. Thanks, everyone who brings this meeting together in any way, shape, or form, because it saved my life. Visions saved my life. And I'm so clear about that. From the beginning of my life, I was an outsider, a fat outsider. I remember not being allowed to dance in the maypole dance in the sixth grade because I was big. And as a woman said, I had boobs. I remember not being able to to you know, hang, what was it, on that thing that you tried to hang from. I couldn't do anything on the playground. I've been fat all my life. And what I thought pretty much early on was, they're going to leave me out here. I'm going to get them in the classroom. I'm going to make straight A's. I'm going to show them exactly who I am and who they're not. But I was left out. I remember standing against the wall as a teenager in dances. And I was so frightened of everything and everybody. And what did I do for comfort? I ate. And there was never a time when I thought or imagined that my self-will could control. I just couldn't figure out in my fat fog what could control what I was doing. I started going to OA meetings probably in the late 70s, early 80s, every garage, every nook and cranny in San Francisco. And they would say, there is this book on the back table with the literature, and it costs this much, and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I would look at the book and thumb through it, and then I'd put one in my bag and buy it on the shelf. I had them all over. But no one ever said, this book is a cornerstone of this program. It was only when I hit 300 pounds and my right leg split from edema did I understand. At that point, even I said, God's just being mean to me. I what have I done to deserve this? Now, intellect has got nothing to do with this program. Intellect has got nothing to do with the recognition that an overeater plays a consequence. Because I have two doctorates. Would you think I would wake up and think, you know, spoon to mouth, my dear. Spoon to mouth. No, didn't get it. Went to every possible pay and pay way that you've ever seen. The one where you got nude in the mirrors and the doctor let you drink the urine of a pregnant whatever. And here I am, only visions, only the big book, only God, only my higher power. And for this awakening, and for all of you, the Vision family, I'm so grateful. I cannot tell you how grateful I am to, in the final years of my life, to experience what my higher power wants me to experience as life. Thank you so much. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Joy MD. Perfect timing. Next, we've got Adrian N, followed by Michelle D. Good morning, Adrian. Adrian, can you hit star one to unmute, please?
Hi, it's Adrian. Can I be heard now?
We can hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I pressed star one, unmuted, and I pressed the star again, and I was listening to a recording. I'm from Florida, Adrian N., and I came into the program when I was 20 in 1973, and I never left, and I never had it easy. And I listen to people share, and I will make comments in my head or even verbal when I'm alone, and yet I don't open up my mouth. And the thing is it doesn't matter how long you're in the program. It's over 50 years, and I am still struggling with wanting to eat after dinner. And a lot of time, you know, I used to allow myself a metabolic, they called it in some, you know, rehabs, and I got that name, and then they would call it a snack, you know, three meals and two snacks, and I just had my snack at night. And, you know, I want to stop doing that because what I'm eating, although it's not non-abstinent, it's not healthy stuff either, you know, and it's like one snack and then what can I have now? And it's that struggle, it's that wanting that has made me feel that I get recovery, I have it for a couple of years, and then I don't know what happens, but the progressive nature of the disease, it rears its ugly head, and then I want to eat more, and I want to eat more. And thank God I've maintained my weight within 4 pounds of my goal, but when will it be 40 pounds, you know, of my goal? And it doesn't matter how long you're here, because I'm here forever. I'm on vision since day one or day two, and back in 2012. And it doesn't matter. I am struggling again. And the answer for me is my connection to my higher power. That's what it is. Is when I lose my connection to my higher power, all I want to do is soothe myself with more. And it doesn't matter if it's more celery or more chips. It's just more. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Adrian N. from Florida. So glad you're still here. Next, we've got Michelle D. And then we'll have Bruce E. And we may not have time for the other two. We'll see how it goes. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle D. from Virginia, recovering compulsive overeater. I will try to make this really fast, but I just want to say thank you to everyone on this meeting today. I want to say thank you to, you know, the people that created the big book, and thank you to my higher power. I'm on day 4 of a fresh abstinence. I am in the first year of discovering who my higher power is and making a connection. And I was on the road when the meeting was going on. I'm home now, but I was on the road coming back from a medical thing. And the medical thing took twice as long as I expected, was more painful than I expected, and my fear kicked in. And my plans for the day were out the window. I wanted some sort of reward, and I now have chronic pain at my age, and all the things that I used to be able to do for rewards that were not food, I'm not able to do them at this time. And I looked at the clock, and it was 9:58, and I said, oh, I can go to a meeting. I can go to a vision. So I popped on the meeting, but I went to a drive-thru, and I got 2 sugary items. And, you know, I rationalized it. I customized them to make them the least amount of sugar that I possibly could. And the thing, the bakery thing that I got was not very sugary. And sugar is not my main thing. My main thing is salt. I go to salt first and sugar is second. So I was trying to control everything, and I was totally mindless. I got the things, I took one bite, I took 2 sips, and then I heard the people sharing in this meeting that, you know, be in God's will, not in my will, and it snapped me out of it. I left those things in my car to boil in the hot sun. I'm not gonna drink them, I'm not gonna eat them, I'm done. I'm back to recovery, and, you know, my head is clear now, whereas it wasn't, because something came up that was unexpected. And that happens to be one of my biggest triggers, is when things don't go the way I think they're going to go. So I'm incredibly grateful for everyone sharing today. I'm incredibly grateful for the reading. And I'm just happy to say that, you know, this isn't going to turn into a relapse. This was a moment. But I'm going to stay with God today. And today is all I have. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michelle D. from Virginia. Next, we've got Bruce E. from Florida, and we may have time for a 1-minute share after that. But good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. I'm Bruce E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southwest Florida. Grateful to be on the call, grateful to be a food addict today, and but not face down in the food. And young people may be encouraged. Yes. Yeah, but They may try to be trying to do it on their own willpower. And at any age, I got hung up on that a lot about, I can do this, I can do this, I got this thing, I can do it. And then find I couldn't. So I had to try that. You know, I had to try all of this stuff, all this other stuff, drinking water instead of food and all that kind of stuff, fasting and all that. And I had to try all that to find out it didn't work. And then I found out the only thing really worked for me was OA Vision, coming on these calls and getting a sponsor and figuring out how to do this thing and letting God do it for a change instead of trying to do it myself. And through my own willpower or selfishness, self-centeredness. It says here they want to stop. You know, I wanted to stop. You know, I did want to stop, but I didn't want to do the work to get free from it. And somebody told me it's all about freedom. You know, we're looking for freedom here. Now, this mental twist that it talks about, it's very interesting. I still don't know exactly what it is, but I know I got it. Because I'm sick. I'm a sick person. I'm not a bad person trying to get better. I'm a sick person trying to get well. I'm very, very sick. But I've got this mental twist. And I haven't figured out how it works, but why I have it or what it is about it. But man, I got this mental twist that tells me, yeah, things don't go well, a little food will help. Things go well and a little food will help. You know, that's my big problem. No matter how things go, my mental twist may tell me that, okay, try it, apply a little food to life today, you know. But what's separating me from food right now is you guys, you men and women, God, and working this program. So with that, thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Brucey from Florida. And Courtney, you got 1 minute. Friend, did you want to take a minute? Courtney T?
Sure, I'll just claim my seat. Thank you. Thank you for your service. So grateful for this meeting and this big book that has given me a design for living. This is Courtney, compulsive overeater and sugar addict in North Carolina. I've got circled and highlighted that we doubt if many of them can do it because none will really want to stop. Oh, Lord, no. I did not want to stop eating my sugar. I wanted to have my cake and eat it too. I wanted to be skinny and be able to eat the foods that I love. My issue is more of a body dysmorphia because I looked good on the outside, but I was a mess on the inside, you know, living day to day with what I'm going to eat next. Today, I'm gratefully been working this program the way it's meant to be worked. Since last June, I was the walking dead because I was trying to do half measures availed us nothing for 30 years in the rooms. So grateful to be here working it the way it's supposed to, and I just wanted to get in with the herd today. And, I'll pass.
Thank you so much for closing us out. Thank Courtney you. T. from North Carolina. Okay. I'm so sorry, Regina. We're not going to get to you today, but please come back on Monday. So we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And let's see, Vanessa G., can you please read A Vision for You?
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Vanessa G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. This is our vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.